just got dyslexia, okay?
Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com. This land is your land. This land is my land.
From California?
To the Disney World Island.
To the Disney World Island. I see what you did
I
there.
Brought it around. You I bring did. It around every now and then. Funny thing is I had no idea how I was going to start this podcast, and that just popped into my head. So
That's
I thought,
a good one.
Hey, what better way to start a Disney podcast than with a musical number?
Yeah, I knew Disney owned a few islands. I had no idea it was actually in Florida.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, honestly,
take a cruise ship there.
I feel like
Disney.
Most of Florida is an island in a swamp. Like,
right?
I feel like everything's surrounded by swampland, and if you're on dry land, you're on an island, basically.
That is what Disney World feels like.
Sometimes it is. But we're going to talk about a legitimate island.
Yeah.
And we've talked about it in passing before, because getting to Magic Kingdom is an adventure in and of itself.
Right. They put a big old lagoon right in front of it, right?
A lake. They put a lake in front of it.
Oh, it's a full-on lake, they call
it. And there's no parking lot. There's nothing. You have to ride a plane, train, or automobile to get over there. But the fun part is when you're riding on the ferry, you pass by an abandoned island in the middle of the Seven Seas Lagoon.
Yeah. And I don't think I knew that that was the abandoned island that Discovery Island once was, where
they did a really good job of making it look completely uninteresting.
Right.
It's just a mass of trees in the middle of
Amazing.
A lake.
So if you've ever been to Magic Kingdom and you're headed in, you're on the ferry boat headed over.
Yeah.
In the middle of the lake, you'll see an island there.
Mm-hmm.
And on that island once was like a zoo. They had a zoo there on the island, right?
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was the original Animal Kingdom, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's
so, like, I thought, personally, I thought that the island was man-made.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Disney had made the island in the middle of the lake.
I bet it was, because the lake itself was made, and it took them years to build it.
It's not.
It was there already?
It was there already.
No
way.
This
is all new information for me. It's a naturally occurring island that was on the property when Disney bought it.
Well, hot dog, y'all.
There was actually a family. It was originally called Raz Island, named after the family that lived and farmed on that island.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
So does that mean that there was water around it before that?
Yeah. And like, they built their park that close to the island on purpose.
Wow.
Like, that close to the lake on purpose. So, apparently the island has been there and passed hands numerous times.
Prior to Disney's ownership of it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Isn't that cool? And I was like, oh, I totally thought that Disney dug out the Seven Seas Lagoon and made an island in the middle of it just to be Disney.
Sure.
Apparently not.
They had to put the dirt somewhere.
Well,
that was legitimately what I thought.
Well, and the Magic Kingdom, we all know, is built on the second level. They dug down and built all of the tunnels underneath Magic Kingdom to move cast and trash and
I
things
still
around.
Forget that's true.
But apparently all that dirt didn't go to this island as okay. I had originally thought.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So
that even makes it more sad that it now just sits abandoned
right?
in the middle of a lake that's prime real estate, y'all. It's prime real estate.
It's the coolest thing, and could still be. I mean, originally when the park was even, when they were doing press for Magic Kingdom,
yeah,
they were talking about the island was going to be opened as some sort of pirate, like a treasure island.
Kind of like what Tom Sawyer's island is now.
Yeah,
possibly?
Kind of a Tom Sawyer, but more pirate themed.
Interesting.
Kind of thing. And even when it did open in 1974, it was opened as a sort of zoo with a pirate theme to it.
Okay. That's fun.
And it was, people didn't think of it as a full day experience, obviously, because it's so small.
Oh, and I absolutely would not. You're right.
Yeah. And Disney was like, well, we're not doing enough this island. And so they shut it down, built all sorts of walkways and habitats, and put an aviary, and sank a pirate ship off the coast, and reopened it as the Discovery Island.
Okay.
Where they had like all sorts of birds and other animals living on the island.
Huh.
And obviously the only way to get there was by boat.
By boat. That's what I was thinking too. And I thought that was some of the complaints that they had before, is how expensive it was to maintain and manage and get things to and from.
Absolutely.
And so all of the merchandise sales and food and stuff would all have to be boat.
Well, not to mention taking care of animals when you don't have direct access.
And in the middle of all those hotels and things now.
I feel like it would be really difficult. Like if you had an animal get ill, or if you needed to get on there and do some work on the island, getting like machinery out there would be impossible. Like you can't just drive a backhoe across the lake to get there.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think they, in an attempt to make it really fun, they may have bit off a bit more than they could chew with that one.
Obviously so, because they closed it and they opened Animal Kingdom, which was easier and better to manage.
Part of the reason why they closed it, because people were saying, okay, well, you're building Animal Kingdom.
Uh-huh.
What's the point of this little tiny zoo out in the middle of this lake that's hard to get to?
Why would you even want to go there?
Yeah.
And was it a separate admission ticket that you'd have to buy then to go out there for the ticket and stuff?
I didn't find any information on that, but I would assume that it probably was.
Because that's how they do the water parks and stuff, too. You have to have some sort of ticket to get in.
Yeah.
So, sure, yes.
Sure. And I don't...
They didn't let you on there for free.
Right.
The island's free, with the roads, the rides.
The ride costs you, yeah. I mean, how much would you be willing to pay for a walk around zoo experience like that?
We paid $20 to get into the zoo here, so I don't know, $35.
Oh gosh, maybe Disney should open it and charge $35 a ticket.
Right. Well, does that compare to a $130 Animal Kingdom ticket, though?
No, not even close.
So yeah,
and you still have the same amount of work that goes into it that Animal Kingdom has,
right?
You know, so yeah, it was shut down in but regards to Animal Kingdom.
The Tree of Life, that's now on the Discovery Island or something, right?
Exactly. Yeah, like they have like the island in the middle.
Homage to it.
Yeah, and I think Disney is really good at that. They make sure that they give like a fun little wink and a nod to
tie in the histories together.
Yeah, I mean, if they ever have to tear down a ride and build something over it, they try to pay homage to whatever it is that had to go for the new thing to move in.
Yeah, so it was them clearly saying this is the new Discovery Island.
Yeah.
Even though, yeah, I can't tell I'm on an island when I'm on it.
So, I find it fascinating because literally they just...
Yeah, so now it's just really fascinating. They have this abandoned island in the middle of the lake right outside of a park where hundreds of thousands of people go every day and don't even know that it's there.
And they literally left all the buildings, all the infrastructure there. They said for years after the island closed down, the lights would still come on the island at night.
Oh, that would be so freaky. Being on the ferry on your way back, seeing lights on the island.
It would make me more curious, which is probably why they've stopped. They've turned them off.
I can't believe it took them any amount of time to do that.
Right?
Maybe for safety reasons. I don't know.
Yeah. Or it's just, you know, that's they were on cool. timers or something. I don't know. But there have been, you know, some guerrilla-style videos of people getting onto the island
right.
and wandering around. It kind of gives me Jurassic Park-type vibes where you're just like, you're not where you're supposed to be and all the animals are out of their cages sort of vibes, you know? But the last time we were there, we were riding by it and thought, gosh, they should really do something with that island and kind of bounce some ideas around as to what might be fun to do on that island.
Yeah. I came up with only one.
Just one.
Only one.
Okay.
Just one. I went right to it and just
said, the best idea, apparently.
I'm not that creative, but I would just say, like, to have a mega restaurant resort island type thing would be amazing. So if you did some sort of like thing where there was a building where all of your restaurant was done at, so you wouldn't see or know or hear anything about the cooking that was going on, and then on the edges of the island and around the island is where you'd be sitting in your own little personal cabana kind of a thing or something. Like, you'd almost have your own separate little dining room, and maybe there could be a few other tables in there, so maybe they're sectioned off into five or six tables at a time, but have it be like a destination restaurant
right
outside of the Magic Kingdom that would give you prime firework watching. And have like a firework experience would be amazing.
Would it be like too much to build like almost like an elevated experience where you could see the fireworks more? Or do you think it would be fun just to have almost like an amphitheater style seating where everyone was sitting at tables being able to watch the fireworks?
I don't know. It'd be fun if you did an amphitheater down on the far end where you're overlooking the castle, because that gives you a really good view of Magic Kingdom.
Right.
And you can see the castle and what's the island or the ride that I love so much? Space Mountain. You can see those like iconic rides.
Yeah.
That are amazing. And then so obviously you can see the fireworks from there would be great. So
it could be a very elite experience too, almost like a Club 33.
Yeah.
Like if they could make it something exclusive where you make reservations
months in advance.
You get on a specific ferry to take you to this specific island. You spend the evening there.
Ooh.
You know, they have special parking for you, so you don't have to deal with the ticket transportation center.
And you really could do special parking like the Grand Floridian or the Polynesian or something that's nearby.
Right.
You could even connect it with the Polynesian because it would have a Polynesian vibe about it.
Oh, you could totally do that.
And then you could come over from that park.
Yeah.
From that hotel specifically. Maybe you have like a pre-party at the Polynesian or Grand Floridian for that matter. Because am I saying that right?
Floridian?
That's the name of the hotel, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, great. Because those are both of their prime hotels.
Right.
So if you did any one of those themes, I just think it lends itself to the Polynesian more.
Well, and we've come to find out that people will pay for that kind of experience. You know, people pay a lot of money to be in Club 33. People pay a lot of money to eat at the fancy restaurants. So if you were to somehow combine those and make it like a super elite experience, or even possibly like they do... the special giveaways to a certain number of families,
right,
or whatever the situation may be, people would be losing their mind trying to get onto that island,
right?
You know,
and you could make it an experience where everybody starts coming in at the same time together, or so it's more of a long event, 4 or 5 hour. That five is probably way too much.
That's a long time.
3 to 4 hour event though, that you're having dinner and then you're watching the fireworks and maybe have a little dance hall out there.
Oh, a dance hall.
Yes, Grandpa.
We're going back in time. No, if I you had go like out a
and do the cha-cha.
If you had specific entertainment options out there or photo ops or, you know, who knows what, people would be all about it. And it could be really cool. I think that's a super fun idea. Probably more profitable than the idea I had, which was spurred on by my love of Indiana Jones. But I thought it would be awesome to do some sort of interactive Indiana Jones type experience on the island, where either you're using your Magic Band or a phone app and you're going through solving a mystery, exploring ruins. Like some sort of interactive experience that could be really fun.
Yeah.
Mostly just because I want to get on the island and walk through the abandoned places because I think it's fun.
Uh-huh.
But if you could theme it around like Indy, that may be a bit exact for them, but something like that.
But they just really barely fun. Got the full rights to Indiana Jones now, right? Like they didn't own it before with the merger of 20th Century Fox?
You're probably right. They probably do own Indy now.
And so with that, they definitely could then expand on it further. And aren't they coming out with more movies again?
Yeah, they're planning on another Indy movie coming out. I'm not holding my breath because the last one wasn't very impressive. But if they could do that, or they could even go back to the original idea and have it be a pirates-themed thing. Everyone loves a good pirate theme.
I like Indy more.
Yeah.
And we have enough pirate stuff.
Oh.
That's already...
Steve, you heard it here first. Steve says no more pirates.
No. No, I mean, let the pirate... Like, you don't want to cheapen all the pirate stuff that's already out there.
Right.
With Pirates of the Caribbean and everything else, you know?
Since Disney World only has the Indiana Jones stunt show...
Currently, yeah.
It wouldn't be detracting too much from that to put some sort of indie experience on there. Even... I don't think they could do a ride, because trying to build a ride out on the island, like we said before, would be a logistical nightmare, and there's no way to do it well. So if it's even just facades and some interactive elements, kind of like the Pirates game that they have at Magic Kingdom, where you use your magic band and tap things and it makes things happen around you.
I think you could do it far more grand than that, though.
Well, yeah, but that's kind of the thing I was going for. Like, you're looking at a map and it says, look for this, and you tap your band on it and it gives you some sort of reaction, you know, and then you're moving on to another section or, you know.
And I very specifically remember a dance hall in one of the Indiana Jones shows.
Yeah, at the beginning of Temple of Doom, she was doing a musical number.
That's what I want to see out on the island.
You want to hear Anything Goes in Mandarin?
Anything Goes. Neon Lights.
You hated that movie.
I did. It was the scariest movie ever made. Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom.
Well, you saw it when you were so little, too.
I'm still in therapy over it today.
You are not. I remember people being very up in arms about that movie.
Could you imagine a fire pit on the island?
No, that would be a horrible idea.
Okay.
But if they could do a rope bridge.
Now, if they were to reinvent Dinosaur Land to be Indiana Jones themed, could they then do the island out there, or do they have to come up with a new concept out there?
Well, I think having any kind of exclusive content out there could be fun. Even if you made it, I think I mentioned this to you last time we were at Disney, I would make it a no cell phones, no recording kind of situation, where literally you are not allowed to bring anything that might record your experience onto the island, and that's it. So the only way word gets out is by word of mouth. And, you know, people were all about not spilling secrets about the last Avengers movie. So you could make it the same thing where you're like, once you're on the island, these are your secrets to keep. Whatever, you know, whatever happens on the island stays on the island, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then the mystique of the situation, I think, would get you a lot of attention in that situation. You know what I mean?
So how much would you pay for that experience?
Well, it depends on what the theming was, or if they switched it up, like, which would be cool. If they had exclusive things going on the island on a regular basis that switched out maybe four times a year.
Yeah.
Depending on the thing, I would pay basically $100-some-odd to get on the island for an evening of, first of all, no cell phones would be awesome.
That'd be pretty fun.
How nice would it be to just not have your phone on you for a minute?
Yeah.
And then, just like I said, the cool mystique of being on this mysterious island that not everybody gets onto, and there's no footage of what's going on the island.
And if they only allowed like 200 people a day to come on and off the island, you had to book it months and months in advance.
Yeah.
It could be fantastic, especially at a park that does have such high foot traffic. It could be great.
Well, and that's what they're kind of doing with Galaxy's Edge by making people pre-book their trips into Galaxy's Edge. They're trying to guarantee some level of an experience by limiting the number of people that are in there while you're there.
Well, and that's what I find so fascinating about the tickets that they're doing with that, is that it's their first experiment with this type of ticketing. And I'm kind of hoping it's kind of the direction that they're going with more in the future. Of course, they'll always have the premium unlimited experience, but unless you're going on the island wouldn't be.
Yeah, the island would be first come, first serve. But then again, the issue would crop up that they're like, well, if you're staying on property, you can book on the island 60 days in advance, you know, and it's like, ugh, of course you can.
Well, especially if it was, again, connected with something like the Polynesian or the Grand Floridian.
Right.
You know, if they...
But this is the thing, is... I'm a big fan of Disney, and I like that they are doing lots of fun things, but I feel like something needs to be on equal footing for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You have fast passes, you have hotels, you have Club 33, you have all these things that are exclusive to the point that a lot of people can't use them, mm-hmm. or can't get into them, or can't afford them. Whereas if you had this island that maybe was by invitation only, maybe it was a random drawing, mm-hmm. maybe, you know, you can't buy your way onto the island, you have to be invited onto the island, and then it's total media blackout for what's on the island. I can't imagine the amount of brain melting that would be going on in the Disney community if they had this super, super exclusive island that you can't buy your way onto.
Can you imagine?
Oh my gosh. I'm a PR genius.
And Disney. You could do it if you did something where, like, you put your name into a lottery, and then, so you're telling them ahead of time, I want to be part of this.
Right.
And then they select you when you want, when you are to be selected.
Right.
Something like that. They could, that would be fun.
Yeah. Like,
100%.
If at any point you're going to be in the parks, specifically Magic Kingdom, I guess, and say, here's my name and the number of people in my party, and then they will contact you and let you know if you've gotten onto the island or not.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, it would be so cool.
That would be great.
I'm just saying, Disney, you should hire me because.
Yeah, because Disney folks love nothing more than to be told no.
Well, they love to be told this is exclusive. They love to be told it's a limited edition.
Because I fall for it every time.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah.
I had no desire to go to Galaxy's Edge the first year until they told me that I had to make passes. And then I was like, oh, in which case, I want to go immediately.
Yeah.
Like, we're booking this trip now.
We are just gluttons for punishment, apparently, completely as Disney right. fans. But I think it would be super fun to do something, anything on that island other than nothing, you know. And obviously they've got other bigger projects going right now, so it's not a priority. But at some point, it would be fun to do something really cool on that island.
Yeah.
But it's like I always say, Steve, where do cyclopses live?
Where?
On an island. Follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app. And if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique, and we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.